They be like, slow up, homie, you're talking too fast. Came for Buzz of the Week and Splash Trash Man. He's Bucky Watts and Bradley Bags. Yeah, it's going down, we call it the G-Splash. In the summer sessions and sessions, it's with the unexpected. I'm talking the minutes, the seconds, and pocket perfection. I keep you guessing with methods of messing with the new section. And it's the only podcast with the record I'm wrecking. So, yeah, welcome to my home. This is G-Splash Zone, it's the dub show. Getting where you fitting in the summer zone. And I'm going hella ham on it, motherfucking it hard.
What up, world? It's going down, baby. Welcome to another episode of the Summer Sessions here on G-Splash, what we call the G6, which is six new stories before 6 a.m. This is the only podcast on the internet that's already pumping out reruns. That's right. This is the first episode Chris and I did, and I found it in the archives. Chris and I dig into a little bit of Comic-Con, and that is also coming up, so it's definitely in pocket. Yeah. Also coming up on next week's episode, I haven't quite figured it out yet, but I may or may not let you know. Maybe we'll do Splash Trash. Meh.
Shit is straight.
And season 3 will start around October 10th. I'm pretty sure this is a solid date. There is some dope stuff coming up here on these summer sessions that I am working very hard on, so please stick around. But on that note, you know what time it is. In our first news story, this broke today on Wednesday.
The deal is final. The Spurs will send Kawhi Leonard and Danny Green to the Raptors for DeMar DeRozan, Jakob Poeltl, and a 2019 first-round pick.
Kawhi heads to the Six! That's right, Kawhi heads to the Six. Toronto and San Antonio have been talking about this trade for weeks now and several incarnations of packages. Sources close to DeRozan said that DeRozan met with Toronto officials in Vegas during Summer League and believed that he would not be traded. Now, this is a very odd turn of events for Toronto as they've given up what they considered their Kobe Bryant and Raptor for life for a gamble to convince Kawhi to stick around longer than a season. Sounds like a wreck already. Toronto, you're on the clock. You have 5 months, once the season starts, to get any and everything out of Kawhi before that trade deadline. Once that pass, it's a wrap, B.
Shit is straight garbage. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. In a story posted on DeMar DeRozan's Instagram page Wednesday morning, DeRozan wrote, "Be told one thing and the outcome of another. Can't trust them. Ain't no loyalty in this game. Sell you out quick for a little bit of nothing. Soon you'll understand. Don't disturb." Wow.
Well, there's no question this deal comes with great risk for Toronto. They're rolling the dice on a player who is, when healthy, a top three or four player in the league. They've got a year now to try to convince him to stay in Toronto the way Oklahoma City did with Paul George, but right now, this is a tremendous risk.
Just like DeMar DeRozan is now irrelevant in Toronto, a Jeff Goldblum statue has popped up in London. The statue was installed in front of the Tower Bridge. Now, the UK streaming service Now TV is using the art piece to celebrate the 25th anniversary of Jurassic Park in the United Kingdom. The coincidentally 25-foot statue references the memorable scene in the movie where Dr. Ian Malcolm unbuttons his shirt while lounging around after surviving a T-Rex attack. With the latest art piece, it is safe to say that Jeff Goldblum's scene-stealing decision is forever enshrined in the meme of Hall of Fame.
That is one big pile of shit.
You know how we do here at G-Splash? We talk movies, comic books, and all of that. So I'm giving the drop this Wednesday. And I got a couple of books that y'all should check out if you're looking for some good reads. This week, Injustice vs. the Master of the Universe number 1 dropped. Now, believing He-Man and the Masters of the Universe defeated a robotic imposter has seized control of Eternia, but not for long. After freeing his kingdom from the strongman's rule, Prince Adam learns not everyone is pleased to see the pretender deposed, but Adam knows the value of freedom. So when heroes from another dimension ask his aid, he quickly agrees. Teaming up with Batman against the Superman of the Injustice universe, He-Man and his new allies face dangerous and familiar enemies in a battle where no one is safe. Also releasing this week is Infinity Countdown number 5. This is the countdown conclusion. All the hype is not real. I'm going to say this one is a
shit is
trash.
Garbage.
So
you know what I'm talking about.
Hopefully it gets better. But the battle for Infinity Among the Stars comes to a dramatic conclusion, and all the stones are in place to bring the Infinity Wars to Earth. So hopefully that picks up. But a better book to check out, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 29, continuing on in the Shattered Grid series. But here's what this book's about. The Power Rangers and their allies prepare for the final attack against Lord Draken, as a new ally makes it through their world and Zordon makes a last-ditch effort for help. This is a series I've been reading. I'm calling this Splash, even though it's being dragged out slightly, but I still love the series. A new book to drop this week is The Life of Captain Marvel number 1. We're all excited for the next Marvel movie to come out, which is Captain Marvel. Here's what's going down. Carol Danvers was just a girl from the Boston suburbs who loved science and the Red Sox until a close encounter with a Kree hero gave her the incredible superpowers. Now she's a leader in the Avengers and the commander of Alpha Flight. But what if there were more to the story? When crippling anxiety attacks put her on the sidelines in the middle of a fight, Carol finds herself reliving memories of a life she thought was far behind her. You can't outrun where you're from, and sometimes you have to go home again. But there are no skeletons in Captain Marvel's closet, and what she discovers will change her entire world. Written by the best-selling author Margaret Stoll and drawn by fan favorite comics veteran Carlos Pacheco, this is a true origin of Captain Marvel. Sticking with the comic book news and moving right up into the Arrowverse.
You have failed this offer.
Yes, that's right, new Arrowverse news. This year's annual crossover will not include Legends of Tomorrow, but instead the crossover will feature Batwoman and, well, everyone else. It is rumored that Batwoman will be played by an out lesbian actress, but the full details have yet to be revealed. The heroes will journey to Gotham City for the first time ever. The Arrowverse will be at San Diego Comic-Con this year, so definitely check out that panel. Sticking with our San Diego Comic-Con theme going, Breaking Bad has hit its 10th anniversary this year, and Omaze has teamed up with Aaron Paul and Bryan Cranston to give Breaking Bad fans a chance to cook in the famous RV. In a video from Omaze, Aaron Paul teases about cooking meth with the actors, but it reveals later that the winners will actually instead be cooking breakfast. It's all good, everybody loves bacon, right? The video drags a bit in the middle, but it is kind of funny in the end, I guess. The full cast will be reunited at San Diego Comic-Con for a panel designed to commemorate the anniversary. And coming to a close on our last story, San Diego Comic-Con scalp tickets are now the second only to be behind the Super Bowl in price. For the past few years, passes for San Diego Comic-Con have been unbelievably hard to get, leaving fanboys and girls digging through the internet clutter, trying to find something and somewhat affordable. With so many people trying to get tickets, the last-ditch effort, of course, is to deal with scalp wars. Despite being against the SDCC rules, and now it's been revealed that these passes are among the most sought-after tickets in live entertainment behind the Super Bowl. A 40 pass at Comic-Con currently starts at $1,165. Guys, don't you remember when this was like the nerdiest thing ever? That's gonna do it for the news. Please stick around and enjoy this brand new recut of our first episode that Chris and I made way back when. We talk about how Comic-Con started out as a nerdy get-together and has elevated all the way to the forefront of pop culture. We love your comments. Thank you so much for checking out G-Splash. We'll see you next week. Peace.
Main event.
The main event. Ding, ding, ding. Let's get ready to rumble. Don't know why we did that, but that sounded funny at the time, I think, in our heads.
It worked out. Worked out
so
good.
We're talking Comic-Con.
Cool. I'm in.
This is one of the most fascinating things to me is that, like, when this whole thing started out in San Diego with, like, a handful of people, I mean, this was something considered at the time that was, like, the nerdiest thing ever to do.
Oh, yeah, like this was a very small subculture, like 10 people.
Right, so it started off with, like, literally a handful of people, and I think they got together and started out with them talking to Jack Kirby over the phone.
Oh, great.
So, like,
that's a good start, though. Jack Kirby, I mean, this is he's a heavy hitter in the comic book world.
Exactly. And so these kids just got to have a chat with them on the phone. I mean, this is back in what I think, what I say it was? Did you say that, seeing that link?
1986.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, in the 60s. Like, now, let me ask you this. Did Star Trek come after that?
Star Trek should have, the original series should have premiered before that. So I think Star Trek, let's find out.
Because I'm not, I was wondering, because I know that, like, those were bigger, like, cons, like.
Well, I mean, you have Star Trek, and then you also have, like, you know, that's Gene, it's based on the whatever by Gene Roddenberry. 1969 is the year that they first met. One fall afternoon in 1969.
I mean, it even starts out as a nerdy thing to do, like, got a couple of guys together and reading comic books in the treehouse, basically.
Yeah, I mean, the first, and just to answer your previous question, the first episode of Star Trek, the original series, was September 8th, 1966. So these are definitely dorks, but look at what they've done. Look at what that's grown into.
It's gone from being, you know, a couple of guys getting together to talk about comics and talk to Jack Kirby, one of the greatest names in comic books ever,
easily. The two of them together are what really changed the world.
Right, right, exactly.
I mean, just the breadth of characters is mind bending. Everything from Avengers to help on Spider. I mean, he's a heavy hitter.
So it's gone from this little thing to now, between San Diego Comic-Con and New York Comic-Con, it's $150 million a year event.
Is that just for San Diego? Is that for San Diego and New York combined?
It's them combined.
They bring in, that's it? Is that on ticket shares? Like, because that's obviously not revenue from, like, the vendors and stuff.
Oh, I mean, that's probably just ticket sales.
Dang, that's a lot of cash.
I mean, you're talking like this is festival money. Like, people that are buying these tickets, that same mentality that people do with, you know, festival music festivals, Coachella.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I was reading about, you know, just how crazy it gets down there in San Diego. The San Diego Convention Center is absolutely massive. It's like a mile long.
Yeah, and I think it's across,
and it's still just, it's swarmed. It's just swarmed.
It's a nightmare.
Bonkers.
You're talking, it went from like a hotel convention room, conference room, to like 11 different venues. And I've been down there while it's going on, and I didn't go, but I was down there, and it was still like, it was hectic not even being around there.
Yeah, get this. Here you go. It's in this article in the Rolling Stones. In San Diego alone, it completely fills and spills beyond the 11 acres of San Diego Convention Center and contributes a whopping $150 million annually in economic impact to the city. So that $150 million, that's like an impact to the area. That's talking hotels, restaurants, transportation. Like, this thing is bananas.
When at one point was this like, okay, this is a moneymaker, made fun of, bullied, whatever, like, convention that now is like all the cool people are going.
Massive.
Yeah, like, you get...
I think it's... I know in the last probably... Just in my life and in my perspective, in the last 10 years, let's say, you've definitely seen it grow. You've seen a lot more things happening there, a lot more of these star panels. Not that they weren't there before, but it's becoming more of a mainstream, like, oh, Comic-Con's coming up. But honestly, just talking about overall development, I mean, at some point, you know, the 2 years after they started, they get 300 people and they're like, oh, man, there's a lot of people here. And all of a sudden it's like next year 600 or however the growth has gone. At some point, you got to be like, we're going to make some money off this. And I think that it's not going to slow down.
Yeah, it's definitely a straight up cash cow. And this is all the way from, like, ticket sales to even, like, the merchandise on the floor.
Oh.
There's tons of celebrities there. Like, this is an event.
Tons.
Like, if you're all about autographs, if you're all about taking photos with celebrities, like, Comic-Con's the place to be because they're everywhere. And
speaking of that real quick, I have to say, you sent me a picture of Mark Hamill's board that said, you know, before you get in line to go meet the celebrities, it says, hey, this is the line starting area, and this is what you need to know. And what that usually is this how much it costs to get a picture, this is how much it costs to get an autograph, so have the cash ready. And his said, for an autograph, $295 cash.
Cash.
What, number one, that's an odd number. Why not just make it $300? I don't want to be carrying around $295. I'm just going to give you $300. Are you going to tip him the five?
I mean, I don't know. That's
just making a change problem for the guy that has to handle the pictures.
Well, this is the funny part, is like that was only one time that he was doing it. He was there all weekend, multiple different times. He was like back and forth between pictures and autograph. And
right,
then
right,
I think
right.
he did a few. I think he did some press in the meantime too.
Well, Star Wars. I mean, he's got to be right.
Right, right. Because the movie's coming out. But like, think about this though. Like, he's getting paid per autograph per person, and that was a long line. All these autograph lines were long.
How long do you think his line was?
He was running late, so I want to say it was 100 deep. It had just he just got there.
How long was he going to sign for?
That's a great question, and I do not.
I think on the board it said like it was long. It was like 4 to 8 or 2 to 8 or something like that.
It was like 3 hours.
Okay, so it was only a 3 hour session. So let's just say that just take the 100 people in line, because other people, that line is not going to stop until he's gone. So just what you initially saw, you're talking, let's say that everybody kicks their $5 in. You're talking $30,000 standing right there to a line that will probably go through 9 or 10 times.
I mean, they have people on staff that cuts off lines. Yeah, so think about that. So that's just for people paying, and this is cash. That's cash for one time.
Good luck getting on that, tax man.
So then he's also doing photo ops.
Which are probably unbelievably expensive.
I did not see that price. Plus, he's being paid to be there as an attraction. If you're in the con world, like, and you maybe were a tree on episode 1 of Star Wars, like, you can be at this convention and just like cash out at all the conventions. Like,
oh yeah. I mean, make the circuit. There's a lot of these people that you see, these fan favorites or these characters from shows that are long gone that, you know, make the circuit because they're getting paid and their fans come and pay them a lot of money, and it's bonkers.
The other side of it too is like, you can't just come in and be like, oh, I want Mark Hamill to sign my football. Like, you have to buy something for him to sign.
That's crazy. See, when I was in Salt Lake this, like, whatever, a month ago for their Comic-Con, which was awesome, when you get up, you can either have them sign whatever you brought, or for free as part of your, like, not free obviously, but as part of your contribution, you can pick something off their table for them to sign. So they, like, it's just one cash transaction, like, boom.
Yeah, no, that it was like extra. And so
that's nuts. That's nuts, dude. That guy's gonna walk away with, I mean, just Mark Hamill between pictures, that the dude's walking away with close to $1 million.
Easy. Is just one Comic Con.
Easy. Jiminy Cricket.
So also,
I wouldn't mind getting my hands on some of that cash.
Seriously. Also, there's that's not like New York Comic Con or all the Comic Cons, whoever's booking all this stuff, they'll book a certain amount of people, but then vendors that are on the show floor, they're allowed to have signings at their booth.
Right, right.
So, I mean, there was people that I didn't even know were going to be there that were there at different booths, like, pretty much every single Power Ranger was there, except for the Pink Ranger, and obviously the Yellow Ranger. She died in a car crash.
What? No, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it was years ago.
What's the Pink Ranger doing? What's Kimberly up to? She's busy?
She was on a show a while ago on CBS, I think.
Really?
And then she has like a singing career and stuff. But
Okay. Well, then good on her, I guess, you know? Good on her.
Yeah, so when I went to that Power Ranger panel and I told you about this, like, the Green Ranger kind of crashed it, which was kind of awkward, but it wasn't kind of awkward. It was awkward. And he came in and he's like, I just have one question, and like asked Boom Comics, who write the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic book, when they were going to see more of his character. So
he's like, hey guys, listen, like, I definitely don't owe my bookie a lot of money, so if you could like put me in the thing, that'd be great. But like, seriously, he's going to break my legs. So I do actually have a bookie, so please help me. Just sobbing on stage, like, get out of here, whatever your name is, Jason something something.
Right. So I'm glad we kind of talked about this first. There's so many different layers to a Comic-Con that people may not know.
Yeah.
So usually there's, I was actually surprised that there wasn't that much free stuff. Like they're cutting back on all the free stuff. Usually it's somebody.
It is a money making convention.
Comic books are selling for $50, brand new, on a regular edition. It's like a variant cover. Whoop de doo.
Jeez. A lot of cash flying around, man.
Right. So they have on the showroom floor is basically the nerdiest mall ever. You got the nerdiest mall on the showroom floor,
which is amazing. It's like every single store is dork stuff.
Yeah, I mean you're talking all,
but in a good way.
Anything from, we shouldn't say nerd. Maybe we should. I don't know. They don't like to be called nerds. They like to be called geeks.
They like to be called dorks. They have everything. Like everything from the mainstream stuff you think of, comic books and collectibles, all the pop vinyls, all the way to steampunk and cosplay and
Legos,
board games, Legos. I mean, there is, this is not, and that speaks, I think this whole idea of the nerd mall, I think it speaks to a larger thing, which is that this is so popular because it is so accessible to people, whether you're into Legos or whether you're into vampires or mainstream Iron Man stuff, you can find something that is very specific to what you're into, or you can discover new things you're into, and you can do it in an environment full of other people that are looking for the same kind of stuff. So I mean, you're talking about the people that never go outside, the shut-ins who come out and they're human interaction, to the people that are super cool Joe, I was gonna say Joe Camel, but that's a crazy weird
that's a weird reference
character to pick. Joe Cool can go and still find something he's into and connect with people. I think that's why that mall environment's so
cool. Yeah, I mean, there's definitely a huge layer there. If you're not into comic books, you can still go and still find yourself. There's definitely something on that floor you can like. There's definitely going to be a panel that like. And that's what's cool about it. I'll also say this. This is probably one of the only event... one of the only event kind of environment that is really, I want to say there's little to none of judgment by people. Cause I mean, it's one of those only events that I feel you can go to and no one cares about anything about what people look like, what color, what mm-hmm. race, same thing. But
I could not agree more. That is when I went to, so earlier in the year, I went to a Comic-Con, which is the smaller version in Salt Lake, because it's close to me. I mean, I'm out in Idaho. So then I just recently went to it again, their big time of the year, Salt Lake Comic-Con. Both times, it blew me away, and I thought maybe the first time it was an anomaly. But then going back, I saw the same thing, and it's exactly what you're saying, man. I know there's, obviously, I can't be everywhere at once. There's definitely probably incidents that occur, but for the most part, I'm seeing people that are not judgmental. It doesn't matter. You could have some dude wearing a Captain America costume and he bumps into a dude wearing a naked muscle skin suit from Attack on Titan. And they're they can be best friends because everyone's there to be into what they're into. There's no reason. It's why would I judge someone because they're into something maybe I'm not into, when they can just judge me because everyone's kind of putting it really feels like everyone's putting their cards on the table. It just feels like an environment where everyone's basically saying this is what I'm into and I'm happy. I'm proud of it. And everyone else goes, that's freaking awesome, man.
Yeah, no, that's what's cool about it. I mean,
and number one, if you're someone that's not even into any of this stuff or you're lightly into it, I say go anyways. Cause you said earlier, you're going to find a panel that talks about something you're into. And if not, it's amazing people watching. The people that you're going to see, some of the costumes, some of the freaking just setups and these things that people have done to make themselves feel like they're part of this culture. It's just worth seeing.
Yeah. I mean, the final layer, which we talked about at the beginning, was all the panels and stuff. And mm-hmm. that's where I come in. That's what I feel excites me about going is I want to be on all the panels. I want to see what's coming up, where people are going, which direction, even from comic books, TV shows. And obviously movies, that's the reason that I would go. It's cool to see all the other stuff, but it can be very overwhelming on that showroom floor. But even
it's a lot of movement,
and even went to the extent at New York Comic Con, like The Weeknd was there, and he had hyped up this whole thing, and I guess he did a comic book with Marvel called Starboy, and he was there signing autographs, and like when he was there, it was jam packed at the Marvel booth, and they had to keep security over there. People move in. It can be a lot if you don't like crowds. Like it could be a lot.
It does make sense that he did that comic because I guess I've heard this before, but he's a motherfucking star boy. I think that's a fact I heard.
That is a good fact.
I think that's a true thing. Yeah, man. I mean, panels are crazy, and this was my first experience this last time going to a panel, and I know that you, like you said earlier, you got in some really cool spots. I think it's awesome. I think it's a cool, like, things you don't expect. You start learning things, or maybe if you did get into one that you really wanted to, it's like a real behind-the-scenes kind of look at something silly. It could be a premiere of an episode or a movie, or it could be just a super important person in the history of something that's up there talking about it. Like,
yeah,
you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, and I mean, there's even, like, a business side to some of these panels. They were like, hey, if you want to come to this panel if you're looking to start your own comic book, or like how to write comic books, or
oh yeah, I saw those. I didn't go to those. There's a lot of those like 101, like
yeah,
writing comics or shading or tricks to push your ideas, like, which is also cool that it's an industry that proves even more so that it's an industry that's not attempting to be exclusive. They're trying to be inclusive. They're trying to say, hey, we need more independent comics. We need more. We need more of these smaller companies to start building up. We need writers, and we need this whole. Even though there's so many people involved, they're still not saying, okay, like we're good. We got enough creativity. They're right. Like, be creative. Let's keep making cool stuff.
Exactly. There was a lot of those panels, so it was really good on an industry level to see that as well. Thank you so much for checking out G-Splash Summer Sessions, the G6. Join us next week when we kick down more dope pop culture stuff. I'm Bradley Baxter. This has been a re-up of the re-up. I'll see you next week. All right, man. Peace. So, yeah. Welcome to my home. This is G-Splash Zone. This is the dope show. Getting where you fitting in the summer zone. And I'm going.